Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
All right, John 5:19. John 5:19, amazing verse that Jesus was actually being accused. And they kind of said, Jesus, why do you do what you do? Like, why are you doing what you're doing? And they were trying to get Jesus to justify himself, to defend himself. And Jesus, you know what he did? He shifted the blame. He shifted the blame. How many of you know a lot of times we say, oh, you know, in leadership, you should own, right? Don't blame others, right? Jesus blamed his father. In this passage, in this verse in particular, when they were accusing him, Jesus actually accused his father. And John chapter 5, verse 19 is the words that he spoke to those who were asking him why he did what he did. It says this, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, meaning the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. Now, I remember years ago when I started out in ministry, I used to have a saying, and how many know sometimes that you can have a lot of zeal and not have knowledge, right? So I was extremely zealous, and sometimes I just said things, but this is the way it is. This is the way it is. You don't like it? It's between you and God. I'm just the Uber driver, right? So, seriously. And that's the way I used to be. But one of the things, we can look at zeal without knowledge, but I think there's something worse than zeal with no knowledge or lack of knowledge, and it's knowledge with no zeal. Knowledge with no zeal. I'd rather have someone who's rough around the edges, maybe who struggles and it needs some refining, than someone who's absolutely dead. You know, and just like, oh, but there's still hope. There's still hope even when we encounter people like that or when we go through those times in our own journey with God where we just feel like, oh, I'm just struggling. I have no passion. I have no fire. There's still hope, thank God. But honestly, don't worry about knowing all the answers. Don't worry about, you know, having all the boxes ticked. Be more focused on just pursuing Jesus. Just keep the fire burning. Just pursue him. Just stay on fire and go from glory to glory, and he will help you. He'll work in your life. So one of the things I used to say was this. I said, if the word of God offends you, you need to repent. If I offend you, I need to repent. All right. So today, my intention here is not to offend anyone. In fact, my purpose for sharing this word today is to encourage you. But let me also say that if there's no pain, there's no what? Gain. So we all need stretched. We all need challenged so that we can continue to grow and develop and become the person that Jesus wants us to be. And Einstein said years ago, he said, if you keep doing the same thing and you're expecting different results, that's insanity. So if we want to experience different results, if we need a breakthrough, if we want to encounter God in a new way, if we're believing for a miracle, well, how many know that there's perhaps some responsibility on us to do things a little differently or to even do more than what we're currently doing? We may be doing the right thing, but we're just not in a place of persevering. We're not in a place of going deep enough with God, or perhaps we're doing the wrong thing and we need to lean in and hear from the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to actually be talking about tuning into heaven. And it's all about every believer's call to hear God's voice and follow the Spirit's lead. Years ago, I felt the Lord speak to me, and he said this. He said, the key to successful leadership in my kingdom has to do with listening. It has to do with listening. And so I actually even wrote some training materials that are prophetic, kind of incognito, in stealth is prophetic. And even in the corporate world, speaking with people or who are believers, and they may not necessarily, especially the non-believers, understand what we're talking about here. But the truth is, the Bible places a great emphasis on hearing God's voice. Jesus said, I don't do whatever I want to do. I only do what I see the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, I replicate it on the earth. Whatever I see, he specifically says, the Father doing, so I do it likewise. Can you imagine seeing God? Wow. The Bible talks about that. There's other examples throughout there where Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. So he lived in a place of such sensitivity to Holy Spirit that he actually heard God speaking. And I can tell you that the Bible is clear that the normal Christian life is all about hearing the voice of God. You might be thinking, well, I just try to, you know, ask God, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to make a decision. And that's true, but we're going to see here in just a moment that wisdom is all about listening. Remember the story of Solomon when he became king, and he prayed and he asked God specifically to give him wisdom in order that he would be able to govern God's people. It says in 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon praying, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? What was Solomon praying for? Can I just tell you that, honestly, just debunking the myth, Solomon wasn't an individual who had multiple PhDs. He wasn't brilliant because of applying himself to study or any natural prowess that he had, but he was brilliant because he listened to God. The word actually says here in 1 Kings 3:9, give to your servant an understanding heart. In the Hebrew, it literally is a listening heart. Give me a listening heart. So he was so successful in all that he did. The Bible says there was no one like him. We talk about the wisdom of Solomon, but it wasn't the wisdom of Solomon. It was the wisdom of God that Solomon was receiving from God. He listened to God. And I've learned to practice this at times where I'm just like, I need to make a decision. I need to do something. And I'm listening and I'm listening. And I've learned to walk in a place where my ears are open to hear from God. How many know that Jesus said repeatedly in the New Testament, he who has an ear, let him hear. That's the thing he said the most. He said it repeatedly. Then in Revelation 2 and 3, he actually says this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So Jesus said the greatest responsibility that we have is not to try to be witty or to be in any way, you know, a problem solver on our own in terms of being resourceful, that type of thing, but to just lean in and listen to God. I'm telling you, God knows all the answers. Hello? He knows the answer to your problem. And so rather than just trying, oh, how do I, you know, sort this out? Let's lean in. Listen. Listen. Let him give you revelation. Let him speak to you. Let him, you know, teach you how to address things, how to develop strategies, etc. Time after time in the Gospels, we see this demonstrated in the life of Jesus. Remember, he wanted to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. So what did he do? He didn't put an advert on Facebook and say, looking to hire a venue to celebrate Passover with my disciples. He didn't do that. What did he do? He leaned in. The Father said, the Father spoke to him. And so We actually read in Luke 22, 7 through 13, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? That's a valid question. And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there. Make ready. Verse 13. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Wow, what an amazing story. So there's some interesting facts here. First of all, it was a man carrying a water jar. Men typically didn't do that, so that was very unusual. That was a woman's job at that time. So to see a man doing that, like, whoa, yeah, Jesus said there would be a man. And exactly. And so what happens is when they listen to Jesus and they do what he says, ask him, where is the room? The owner actually says, here it is. So what does that imply? It literally implies that the owner had already received divine revelation that this was going to happen. So God spoke to the person who would literally be the provider. God does that. He works in a significant way. And I've seen this happen time after time. Once again, Matthew 17, verse 27. Okay, it's that time of year where you've got to file your tax return. And what happens is, you know, people are asking Jesus' disciples, does your master pay taxes? And so what happens is Jesus asks a question. He says, is it the sons of the king, of the ruler, that pay taxes, or is it the servants? And they said, of course, it's the servants. It's not his family. It's not his sons that do that. And they said, okay, so neither do we have to pay taxes in the natural, but lest we offend them. That's, by the way, a very important biblical principle. Lest we offend them, okay, just go and take care of this. So he instructs them to go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Now, the word in Greek for piece of money literally means enough. It was exactly enough to pay the taxes for two people. Exactly enough. Wasn't less, it wasn't more. It was exactly the required amount needed to pay the taxes for two people in that time. Isn't that powerful? I mean, come on now. Jesus, where did he get that from? Did he just go, hey, let's be creative today? No, he was hearing the voice of his Father. The Father was leading him, speaking. He only did what he saw his Father doing, right? Two other occasions, feeds 5,000, feeds 4,000. Again, led by the Holy Spirit. And because of the fact that he only did what he saw his Father doing, he never lacked. He never lacked. Why? Because he wasn't implementing his vision. He was implementing the vision of his Father. And when we follow God's vision, we will always have his provision. And we do things his way, we'll never lack. That's the reality. But for many of us as believers, we've not stepped into what is actually the new normal. The new normal is that the supernatural is actually natural for you. You know, the Bible says in several places, 1 John 3:9, 2 Peter 1:4, that we are partakers of the divine nature, that God's seed or his nature is in us. Do you know what that means? If God's nature is in us, guess what? God is supernatural. So therefore, if his seed or his nature is in us, then it's natural for us to live supernaturally. Now, flip that. It's actually unnatural for us to do certain things. It's unnatural. It goes against the nature of God for us to lack, for us to even live in bondage and sin. That's not God's will. God gave us his nature so that we could live like him. we could live like him. We're made in his image and likeness, and Jesus literally came to restore the image and nature of God in his people. Read Ephesians 4, verse 24. So, the Son can do nothing. How many know the word nothing means nothing? Let's break it down. You ready? The word nothing means no thing. No thing. The Son can do no thing. He limited himself. Even though he's God, he limited himself. And he can do no thing but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Father does, the Son does also in like manner. Now, let's talk about perspective. As believers, the Bible says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, what is faith? I just believe. I'm just believing that God's going to do this. That's not faith. See, faith, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So it's substance. It's not ethereal. It's not intangible. It's substance. And it's the substance of things hoped for. Literally in the Greek means the title deed. It's a title deed. If you own the title and someone says, hey, that's my property, and then you go, no, here's the title deed. I own this. This is mine. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. When we recognize that faith says something, then we embrace that and things have to change. The enemy has to submit. The enemy has to relinquish. He might say, no, this is mine. And you go, no, 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 I have the title. It's mine. You got to let go. You got to give it up in Jesus' name. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Secondly, it's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith perceives as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. I want to say that one more time. Faith perceives as fact that which is not revealed to the senses. For us as believers, we walk in the realm of the supernatural. We walk in the spirit realm. So it's very important that we understand this. You see, the two perspectives are earthly and heavenly. Earthly is sensual. Heavenly is spiritual. What's the difference between sensual and spiritual? Very simply put, flesh and spirit. Sensual are senses. We walk by our senses. What we can see, what we can touch, what we hear, all of that. We live based on our senses, but not on what the Spirit of God is saying. There's an amazing verse. It's found in the book of Jude, verse 19. And the writer is speaking of those who are false teachers. And this is what he says. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They're sensual. They cause divisions. Why? Because they literally do what they think is right. And in the Old Testament, we read about a time in Israel's history where the people rose up and the norm for that generation was to do what they felt was right in their own eyes, rather than do what God said was right. And you cause division when you live in a place where you just do what you think you should do. And we are in a time right now, prophetically, in the church, where God is calling us to no longer just like, hey, I think this will work. Let's give it a go. Let's try this. But he's calling us to lean in and listen intently in the fear of God, so that we don't do things based on what we think is right, but we acknowledge him in all of our ways, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't be sensual. But in all your ways, acknowledge God. He will direct your paths. He'll make your path straight. He'll show you what's right. And may I tell you today that God wants to reveal his truth to you. Fear not, little flock. He wants to give you the kingdom. In John 5:20, Jesus said this, the Father has shown me all things. He loves to reveal all things to me. Then in John 15:15, he said, everything that the Father has shown me, I've made known and I've revealed it to you. Come on. Did you hear that? The Father, he hasn't hidden anything from me. He shows me all things. And then he says in John 15:15, I don't call you servants, I don't call you slaves, but I call you what? Friends. And he says, because, listen, everything that the Father has revealed to me, I make known to you. Wow. Guys, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that Jesus has become unto us. He was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Yeah, those are big theological words. Wisdom, first of all. Notice that. Wisdom. God was made unto us, meaning for us. Wisdom. Wisdom. That we would have wisdom. That we would have hearing ears. That we would be able to know what it is that he's calling us to do. And this all goes back to the original design of God for humankind. When he made the man and the woman and they lived in the garden, it was about relationship. They heard God's voice. They knew what was his will. You see, you can tune in to a transmission and listen. It can be clear, but if there's external interference, then it's very difficult for us to hear. And that's the way it is. You know, we have noise cancellation devices, but the truth is we have to make sure that we're listening to what God says and that every outside voice and everything that would interfere with us hearing and receiving revelation from him is literally tuned out. We have to do this. This is a season where God is calling us into a place of deeper revelation and communication with him. You see, in a relationship, communication is essential. What kind of relationship is it when someone doesn't speak? Now, for me, I don't talk before coffee. Okay? I wake up, I pray, I typically read a bit of the word, and then it's coffee time. Lynn typically gets up earlier than I, and what ends up happening is she just starts talking. And I'm just like, way too early. Way, like, give me an hour. And the older I get, the more time I need to recover. But it's true. I reject that in Jesus' name. But truth. So I'm like, no, I need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice at all times. I have no idea why I said that, but I knew there's something there. Okay, Lord, I'm listening. Why did I say that? So in a relationship, yes, that's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In a relationship, what do we want? Communion, right? Now, if I was the type of guy that after coffee, I still wouldn't talk. This is it. Then that would be an issue. If I wouldn't chat with Lynn, if I made no time, then guess what? That would jeopardize our relationship. So I need to listen, but I also need to share. It's two-way. And this is what our relationship with God is supposed to be about as well. Not only when we just wake up or we're going through a difficult time, we go, oh, God, you don't know I'm going through this. God, do you have any idea that this is happening? And God, where are you when I need you? And why is this happening in my life? Like, how about God says, hey, just be quiet, chill, let me get a word in and help you. Let me speak to you. He's okay with our venting, honestly. He's got thick skin. and he understands that we go through things, but there has to come a point where we stop and we listen. Be still and know that he's God. Be still, listen, and know that he is God. Listen to him. See, in the garden, what happened was, it says in Genesis 3:8 that the Lord would come down and he would speak to them. And it says they would hear the Lord in the cool of the day, in the afternoon, in the garden. And literally, it says when they would hear the Lord, the sound of the Lord, one translation says. Now, how do you know it's God? Like, you hear a sound. How do you know it's God and it's not a kangaroo? You know that Garden of Eden was in Australia, right? You guys didn't know that. Definitely wasn't in America. I'm from Canada, so wasn't in Canada either. Too cold. But the fact is, God was there with them. Why is it that they recognized and identified the sound of God? What made the sound of God distinct from any other sound? Well, the reason being is because the word sound is not an accurate translation. The word in Hebrew is voice. They heard the voice of God. Wow. They heard God speaking. And we only can only identify the voice of someone that we're familiar with, that we have relationship with. So there's a place where we hear God's voice and we go, yeah, I know that's God. You see, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. They will not listen to the voice of a stranger. Why is that? I've had people say to me, how do you know when it's God and when it's the enemy or when it's just you? You know. You know because you're familiar with his voice. How do you know when money is counterfeit? They say in the FBI, they train them to be able to identify counterfeit bills, not by studying the counterfeit, but by becoming so familiar with the authentic that if there's a glaring difference, even a subtle difference, they're able to detect it. When you're familiar with God's voice, you're not going to listen to the voice of the enemy. So what does it mean to be familiar? Well, the etymology of the word familiar, it's Latin-based. Guess what it means? Family. Family, you're familiar. It's a familia. It's family. Come on now. So you're in the family. You know the voice of your father. You know the voice of your father because you're in the family. Now, let's look at one verse here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5, verse 14 says this. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, meaning mature. They're full age, they're mature. That is, how do you know if someone's mature? What, listen to this. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now watch this. You have your senses, not your natural senses. He's speaking of our spiritual senses here. Your spiritual senses have become developed. Literally, it says that happens by reason of use. The word in Greek means by practice or by training. By practicing or by training, you literally have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The NLT says, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Who through training? I was in a church years ago. This church was on the media in North America as a revival church. People were literally flying in from all over the world to come there. People lined up outside. It was amazing. I had the privilege to be able to preach there. And what happened one night is I just was in the midst of an extensive time of fasting. And how many know when you're doing that and you're really spending time with the Lord, you become very sensitive. So I see this woman, And the Holy Spirit speaks to me so gently, so beautifully. He says, tonight, that woman, I'm going to set her free. I'm going to change her life. So I invite people to come forward for prayer. Do you need a miracle? Do you need Jesus to change you? Do you need set free? This woman was the first person to respond. She came forward, we prayed for her, and God delivered her. It was quite dramatic. And what ended up happening after the service was one of the ushers actually called me. He said, Pastor Glenn, you need to come upstairs with me right now. The pastor wants to see you in his office. And I thought, oh, no. Hopefully that wasn't his wife. Well, as I went into the room, there was a group of leaders, pastors and others, and they were trembling in fear. And I said, what's going on? And they said, that woman that you prayed for, said she was delivered, she was set free. And it was dark. Let's just leave it there. It was dark. Guess what? She was considered the prophetess in that church. I had no idea who she was. I had no history. I didn't know. But I knew the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, she needs delivered. And they began to tell me a story. They said she came to the church a few years ago. She was very quiet. She just served. She was faithful. But then she started sharing things with us. And it was very spiritual. And in fact, she knew things that we as leaders were discussing that she couldn't have known in any way. And we eventually thought, she's hearing from the Lord. And they opened up, literally, themselves to receive from her. Speak to us. What's God saying? And she began to speak things to them. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas were going around ministering. There is a woman, the Bible says, with a familiar spirit that was following them everywhere they went. And she said this, these men are servants of the Most High God. Anything wrong with that? They're proclaiming to you the way to be saved. Anything wrong with that? Listen to them. Anything wrong with that? No. But Paul looks, and it says in the scripture, he's troubled in his spirit. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Then, boom. He realizes what it is, and he commands the unclean spirits to come out of her. And she was delivered. Guess what happened? Some people got upset because their livelihood was through her gift. Yeah. I'm telling you, we need discernment. Don't be afraid. Fear's not of God. Don't be afraid, but don't be gullible. Discern your spiritual senses to be able to hear what God's saying. Sometimes it's to protect us, to protect others. Other times, it's to give us his plan, his wisdom, whatever we need. It's an amazing thing. God wants to give us a listening heart. He wants us to pursue a deeper connection and relationship with him, align our lives with his word, so that we can increasingly recognize his voice and the leading of his spirit. So guys, we can be blessed. We can be blessed, and we can be a blessing to others. This past Tuesday evening, I was doing a teaching on Roma Waterman's community. And we had, I think, about 200 people online from all over the world. And I was talking about basically deliverance. What is deliverance? And at the end of it, they said, okay, we want you to pray. Roman said, please pray for everyone. So I started to pray. And I just kept hearing God. I had visions. I'd see things. I'd hear things. I can tell you many stories, but let me just share one story with you. And then we're going to have a testimony from someone here in the house as well. In that, I saw a picture. It was a woman, and I saw her in a car. And the car, it was a car accident, a car wreck. And it literally spun. The car literally spun around. And I heard neck injury, chest, and knee. And then I heard the Lord say trauma. This person has been so traumatized by this that they've not been able to recover. They're afraid to get in a car. They're afraid to do a lot of things because they've been so traumatized. Very specific word, yeah? So Roma messages me the next day. She says, Glenn, look at all these testimonies. Testimony after testimony. Word for word, literally the things that I said. But this woman, young lady, said in January, I was in a car accident. And she said, and the car actually spun. And she said, and I hurt my shoulder and my chest and my knee. And I was so traumatized by this that I've struggled to get in the car. I've struggled to drive. I have anxiety. And I just can't, you know, live freely. And that word, guys, was so specific and so powerful. Let me tell you something about the prophetic. It's not just to identify your problem. Because the Bible says that when God spoke a word, everything changed. So when you identify something by the Spirit, you're hearing what He's saying about the situation, but when you speak it forth, boom, it changes things. That was good, wasn't it? It changes things. I'm telling you, in the spirit realm. The word that is spoken, Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak, the rhema that I speak, they're not just natural words. He says they're spirit and life. And when that word was spoken, it changed her life. It changed her life. She was healed. She was delivered. She was a changed person, and she slept amazingly well that night. What a powerful God that we serve. I've seen this happen so many times. Every week I see it happen. I see it happen. And the things that God reveals, so specific, so crazy. In the beginning days of learning prophetic ministry, before we came to Australia, I travel our ministry, Awake Nations, and people go, oh, yeah, well, you're apostolic, you guys, you do this, you build churches, you raise up leaders, you do all that. Yes, but for a long time we were prophetic. Recognize, that's why we get asked in. How many know that prophets get better offerings than apostles? It's not right. So then in the apostolic, then we start healing, delivering, and miracles happening. Yeah, true stories. We've seen cancer healed. We've seen so many things happen. And yet, what happens is when the word of God comes, and it's genuine, and it's real, and people go, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, the secrets of the heart are laid bare, and the person will fall down and worship and say, God is in your midst. It's specific. It's on point. It's not generic. Sometimes what we call prophecy is honestly just an encouraging word to someone. We don't have to spiritualize it. Let's just encourage people. Right? Let's just do it. Hey, I can see you seem downcast. Can I encourage you? Right? No, the Lord's showing me I'm new. I'm not. And like, come on, guys. Like, really? That's just your soul. That's not Holy Spirit. So we have to step into that place. And when we do, God does amazing things. Hey, Sarah, come on up, please. Welcome, Sarah, please. So Sarah received a word from the Lord here. Is it with Caleb?
So last year I finished my counseling degree, and I was studying for a while, and I was so excited to then apply for jobs. And I applied for a few jobs, had a few interviews at the end of last year. They went for me, which was all right, and I was like, oh yeah, that's fine, I'll just move on, I'll keep applying for jobs. And so over December I applied for jobs, January I applied for jobs, and if any of you here know, applying for jobs can be so extensive, you know, you'd put all this effort into it and then you wouldn't get a reply, or you just get like a generic email that was like, you know, you didn't, you know, get an interview. And there were so many jobs I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll probably get an interview for this, I'll just apply, but nothing really came of it. And I started feeling really stressed, and my anxiety was through the roof. And I remember, like, there was a few nights that I started staying up late, you know, Craig had gone to sleep and I'm just sitting in bed scrolling through jobs and I was like, there's nothing really here, but I could apply for this. And then I would just keep scrolling and like staying up later and later because I was just so worried. And like financially, I was like, God, there's things coming up that, you know, that I need to pay for. And then I started to think like, maybe I'm not good enough. Like maybe my resume sucks. Like maybe, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And then church one Sunday morning, Glenn preached about something. I'm sure it was amazing. and then I remember him saying, you know, everybody stand to your feet and, you know, just connect with God right now. And I remember my eyes closing and Glenn goes, Sarah Exon. And I'm like, oh no, what's he going to say? And he said, God spoke to me about you and God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And he said, especially in regards to your job and your working life, take note, I never told Glenn about that I was looking for work and the stress I was under and the anxiety I was feeling. He had no idea. And I was just like, oh, like my first emotion was dread because he was talking at me in front of everyone, but then peace because I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. You know, look, he had no idea. And he said, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but it's going to be a process. And in regards to your job, there's going to be a shift and a change within that space. And I, you know, kept applying for jobs and I slept better. So I was like less stressed. And anytime I felt my anxiety rose, I got someone to send me the recording and I would listen to the word that Glenn gave me. And then I would just, you know, go, there's a timing and there's a process and there's going to be something that's going to be for me. And then I found this job and I applied for it and I was like, oh, that actually feel like it really fits with me. I'm really hoping I get, you know, something from this. And I applied for it on the Sunday. I got a phone call on the Monday the next day and I had an interview on the Tuesday and they offered me the job on the Friday. And yeah, it was amazing. I was like, I didn't even expect it. And also on my first day that I started the job, I think Jaylong was going through archives or something, and I got this email. I remember I finished my job and I drove home and I got this email saying, oh, here's the recording of this prophetic word. If he didn't know I had it already, but I was like, I replied saying, that's amazing. I've just finished my first day of my dream job pretty much. So yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Amazing. So good, right? Yeah, amen. And it's not coincidental. Can I just share one more testimony? When she was speaking, it just came to me. So about 2-3 months ago, Pastor Fred Porter, you guys know Pastor Fred? So he was at our city location, and he was ministering, actually. And I got a word from the Lord, and I just walked up to Fred at the end of the service, and just quietly, you know, we don't have to do it from the platform, by the way, right? I mean, we don't always have to do that. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying sometimes you just do it quietly. And so the word was, I saw a building, I described the shape of the building, and I said, I see like you are going to get this building. Right now, you're on the list, and you're like number 3, but God's going to supernaturally bump you up and number 1, and you're going to get the building. And I said an amount financially, so he messaged me about 2 weeks later. He said, Glenn, you're never going to believe this. I said, I believe anything. Honestly. Because, like, the only thing I'm like, if it's God, right? But you become more and more confident. And you know what? So what if you miss it? Right? What if you miss it? What if you don't say it and God wanted you and you didn't release it, right? So we have a saying, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Okay. Get out of the boat, walk, even if you sink. Yeah, come on. So Fred says, hey, Pastor Glenn, remember that? He said, you described the building exactly. In fact, he told me after I finished praying for him, he said, you just described the building we've just put an offer on. And the shape, everything. And he said, we literally were notified. We were number 3 on the list. But they said, for some reason, we feel we have to give it to you guys. for some reason. Yeah. And the exact amount financially, which was less than what everyone else was offering. Yeah. So, obviously, this is God. Like, who can know this stuff on their own, right? I mean, when it's genuine. And God loves us so much. That's the fact that I want to communicate today. So, guys, it's all about the fact that you can hear his voice. You can lean in and he'll speak with you. And he'll show you amazing things. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. I feel like you guys right there, you're visiting. I feel like there's a decision that you are kind of pondering. Has to do with your future. Has to do with the direction that you're considering going. And God's just going to make it very clear to you in the coming weeks, just clearly, what it is that he's wanting you to do. And I just feel like there's almost like an unanticipated opportunity, and kind of like God's going to just come in and just intervene in your lives in ways. And it's like this opportunity that's just going to be absolutely amazing, and you're going to know it's the hand of God. Does that make sense to you guys? If it's like, if you say no, not at all, just be honest. Does that resonate with you? Yeah? It does? Okay. Because I'd rather say it and not say it, right? I can be wrong, but I just feel that. So let's just say it.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.